You may be seated. The lesson of this psalm and the lesson that will change our direction away from sin and toward God is, number one, that all sin is always against God. In fact, theologically, and I spent a long time reading all the arguments, many theologians say no sin is really against any person because sin is defined by breaking God's law. So we can say with a small letter S that we sin, and if that means we hurt other people and dishonor them or cheat them here and there. But really that's all defined by the holiness of God. And that's why we increasingly live in a culture that is repulsed by this idea of sin, because there's no law of God that they even recognize. And that's why the Bible says that as the world spirals away from God and out of control, and as things gather toward the end, that there will be absolute lawlessness, godlessness, because there's no recognition of God. But it doesn't mean that he's not counting the sin, it's just meaning that people don't care. But the lesson of this psalm is that sin is not merely a personal defeat. If you only think sin is a defeat you experience, then sin becomes manageable. It's just something you learn to live with. But David saw that his sin, look at verse 4, was against God and God alone. And David took personal responsibility for his sin. In fact, 35 times, if you count it, if you mark them, if you highlight them in your Bible, as I have gone through this week and done, you'll find that 35 times he repeats, "It's me and I am guilty." And that is David taking God's perspective. Why? Because God says we're all sinners. We all have sinned. And we are sinful by nature and by choice and by divine decree through our father, Adam. But when the church has a superficial view of sin, which is increasingly happening, I remember when I was doing my first master's thesis, I was interviewing television preachers back then. I remember writing the same letter to all of them and said, "Do you believe in sin? Do you believe in hell?" and a couple other things. And some of the most widely listened to, in fact, I still have one letter from one smiling television personality who said, "If I believed in sin, you would hear me mention it on my broadcast. And if I believed in hell, you would also hear me mention that." And then he added, "If I believed in the virgin birth, I'd mention that too." He says, "Of course I don't believe in those things." And I thought, how many born-again Christians' living rooms are graced by that angel of light, Satan masquerading as one of God's emissaries? But we won't get into that. If men and women are basically good and not sinners under the wrath of God, then why would we ever preach the gospel? Why would we send out missionaries? For that matter, why would Jesus have to die? If people are good, then all they need is counseling and consoling, not convicting. We should give them encouragement, not evangelism. But of course, we know that's false because God, who is the last word, says we are all sinners. So Psalm 51, there's two truths. I hope they're planted in your mind. I'll say them repeatedly. I'm a descendant of Peter, who said, "I want to stir you up by way of reminder," not just telling you once, but reemphasizing it. All sin is against God. We must take personal responsibility for sin. Psalm 51 was designed primarily to be a public read book in worship. That's how God had David inspired to write it. And he presented it to the collection of the sacred songs, the psalms that were kept in the tabernacle then, and then later the temple, and then distributed to all believers. And we have the joy now of having a printed copy. But remember, printing didn't start till the 16th century. And so most people never had the luxury of what we have today. So they just heard it. And as they heard it, the 51st Psalm is written for the most effective public assembly communication. In fact, go back through it with me. I just want to show you two, and this is just a little, if you remember, do you remember going through English Lit and all that? Do you remember how they point out the author and you'd sit there in class and you go, "Wow, I never saw that." Well, sometimes we don't use those skills to actually see the way that God structured the Bible. And I'll just give you a quick, what the people that study Hebrew poetry just relish. Now, I'll just give you a little bit because most people are bored by, you know, structure of poetry. But this is a blessing. Number one, look from verses 3 through 9. I'm going to read them to you again. But David's responsibility for sin is emphasized in this first half of the psalm because sin and sinner occur 8 times. And God occurs not at all. Okay, do you understand that? God, in the first 8 verses, is not even mentioned. But sin and sinner. I'm talking about 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, and 8. After David shoots out this I'm guilty in verses 1 and 2, then he starts going into the description. And notice what he does. Verse 3, my transgressions and my sin is before me. Verse 4, I have sinned and done this evil in your sight. Verse 5, I was brought forth in iniquity, and in sin my mother conceived me. Verse 9. Hide your face from my sins and blot out my iniquity. So 8 times in the first 9 verses, David talks about me, the sinner, and never mentions God by name. Now for the psalm listeners, they'd be sitting there in the service listening along, and God, for 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, and 9, for all those verses, isn't mentioned. And so they who don't have a written copy of this would be in their mind mentally thinking, God is absent. And that's what our sin does. That's kind of a basic description of almost a year of David's life. He was feeling far, cold, dull, away from God. Now, look what happens in verse 10. The holy God against whom David sinned is emphasized in the second half. But sin and sinner are only mentioned one time. You see the structure here? The first half from 3 through 9 is sin, 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 and David saying, I'm responsible, I'm responsible, I'm responsible. The second half is God, 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 God. And sin and sinners only mentioned once. So it's for those hearers to see two distinct messages. Take personal responsibility for your sin, and all sin is against a holy God. And so it's structured right into this psalm. Second half, let me start reading in verse 10. Look at the 20 times God is alluded to. Starting in verse 10, create in me a clean heart, O God, there's number one. Verse 11, don't cast me away from your presence. That's the second reference. Don't take your Holy Spirit. That's the third reference for me. Verse 12, restore to me the joy of your salvation. Uphold me by your generous spirit. Verse 13, I'll teach transgressors your ways and sinners. Right in the middle there, that's the only reference to sinners, just one. And sinners shall be converted to you. That's the seventh time God's mentioned. Verse 14, deliver me from the guilt of bloodshed, O God. There's the eighth. God of my salvation, there's the ninth. My tongue will sing aloud of your righteousness, number 10. O Lord, number 11, open my lips. My mouth shall show forth your praise. God's mentioned a 12th time. Verse 16, you, there's another time, or else I would give it to you. That's the 14th time God's mentioned. Verse 17, the sacrifices of God, there's another reference, are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart. These, O God, there's the 16th time he's mentioned. You, 17th time, will not despise. Verse 18, do good in your good pleasure to Zion, another allusion to God. Build the walls of Jerusalem, verse 19, then you shall be pleased. And that's all that matters. That's the 19th time God's mentioned. With the sacrifices of righteousness, with burnt offerings and whole burnt offerings, they shall offer bulls on your altar. It's all about God. All sin is first and foremost against a holy God. And we must realize that. Don't make your sin manageable so you can kind of keep it. It's kind of like the grass. You just keep mowing it. You don't let it get out of hand. You edge it now and then, but you just leave it alone. That's not how sin should be treated. Every instance, occurrence, and choice to sin is always and only against a holy God.